Hey, y'all.
¿Qué lo que?
So, you're actually going to start your job on Monday.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you got a job.
We are no longer unemployed.
I know, oh my gosh. I know. Wow. I keep thinking about that episode that we did before, and I was just like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck this.
We were so hurt.
I know.
We were so salty.
And now I'm like an art teacher, and I'm like, oh my gosh, language. Oops.
and I'm like, do I identify as 0 or 1 on my W-4?
I know. How do I was the same way. I totally forgot how to fill out a W-4.
Yeah. It's been that long.
I thought it was a W-2. I was like, W-4? What is this? Anyway, are we on? We're going?
We're good.
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah. So everybody, welcome back to Hey Y'all Que Lo Que. I am Bernard.
And I'm Elizabeth.
And this is the podcast where we talk about cultural similarities, the challenges of getting older, and meeting each other along the way. We are coming off of I'm coming off a very interesting 3 weeks. I think I mentioned in the last episode that I was going to be out of the country. Since we came back, we both got jobs. Woo-woo.
Can you
believe? We're part of the workforce.
I know. We might have health insurance in January.
We got some damn benefits.
Yay!
Thank God.
We should do an episode about going to the dentist with health insurance.
We definitely should.
I had to present my health insurance card.
Do you all take United?
I know. And then I'll be like,
so childish. But anyway.
Yeah, anyway, but yeah, you just got back from Dominican Republic.
Yeah. I just got back from the Dominican Republic. I came back actually on the 1st of November, just in time to cast my vote on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that election stuff. And it was great. I had such a good time. You know, made some new friends, caught up with some old friends. It was great being in a tropical paradise. It was 90 degrees every day. And then I came back to Georgia, and it was 55, and I was like, okay, welcome back to America.
Yeah, I know. We have seasons here.
Right.
The leaves are changing colors. You're like, whoa, what is this? It's fall. It's everyone's favorite season.
Yeah. So, and the cool thing about being over there was that I got to appreciate a lot of new music from the island, which is what we'll be talking about today. As we mentioned on the last episode, we're going to talk about Southern Rock and Bachata. And we're going to introduce you all to both genres. For those that are not familiar with it, we'll give you a quick little history lesson. And then we'll talk a little bit more deeply about it and maybe even make a few recommendations at the end.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. Mm-hmm. So he just told us what the episode's going to be about. So moving right along, I am going to ask Bernard, what is bachata?
Man, like, what is bachata?
What a heavy question, right?
I mean, it is life. Bachata is life. No, I'm just kidding.
Side note, before you get started on your tangent, I used to date a guy who was Dominican, and he drove this little tiny itsy bitsy red Miata. And every time I would get in the car and,
oh God,
and
hate
turn
those cars. I know, like Hot Wheels.
They're horrible. I got a flat tire in that thing, and they are like Hot Wheels. Anyway, but every time that I would get in the car and turn his car on, it would be like ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-ting-ting. And like, of course, like I know what bachata is, and I'm familiar with it, but my brother had to move his car once in the driveway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And my brother got in the car, and he's like, What is this music? he's like, I get into his car, and it's like ting-a-ling-a-ting-ting-ting, ting-a-ling-a-ting-ting-ting. So I just thought that was kind of funny. But yeah. So take us through, Bernard. What's bachata? How did it start?
Yeah, so bachata is one of the most prominent music genres in the Dominican Republic. It's mostly known for the Dominican Republic is mostly known for genres like merengue. There's huge, heavy salsa influence. But bachata has really become something that really represents the country, represents the culture in a lot of different ways. You see it in, You see it in pop culture. I mean, you got Usher, you got Drake, you know, who's apparently, according to some, is an adopted Dominican uncle because that's what he looks like. but no, it's a beautiful, beautiful genre that actually has some origins in bolero, which is Latino romantic music. And I like to refer to the history of bachata as the beautiful black history of bachata, because it came out of a lot of the poorer areas of the Dominican Republic, a lot of the farms and, you know, the campos, the campesinos is the music of the campesinos, which was predominantly darker skinned people at the time. The first bachatero is named or recognized bachatero is José Manuel Calderón. Who in 1961, he released the song Borracho de Amor.
Drunk on Love.
Drunk
in love.
Exactly.
Beyonce didn't come up with that. That was Mr. Calderon.
Right. So it's a very interesting story because between the 1940s and 1961, the Dominican Republic was under the rule of a dictator named Rafael Trujillo. Now, Rafael Trujillo was actually planted there by the United States. He was a very ruthless dictator. He changed a lot of the names of the cities in the Dominican Republic. He required people have...
He was from Dominican Republic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he was Dominican. And he required people to have photos of him up in their houses. I mean, if you're familiar with, like, you know, the Mao era of China.
Sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, I mean, he was just very, you know, he would, folks would go missing. I mean, you know, your quintessential
required?
Dictator. Yeah, absolutely.
By law.
And not only was he a ruthless dictator, but he had a strong affinity for more of the European roots of the Dominican Republic than the African roots. And for those of you that don't know, the Dominican Republic is on the island of Hispaniola, half of which is shared with Haiti. It's also the first island that was colonized by the Europeans. When Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, like people say, the first place he landed on was Hispaniola.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's pretty much...
And it was the capital, right? In Santo Domingo, they have that building. I don't know.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of statues to Christopher Columbus. There's a lot of recognition of Columbus and things of that nature. So, but over the years, from the late 1400s all the way into like the mid 1900s, there was an indigenous presence. Obviously, when they got there, there are no longer any Native Americans on the island. They've all been eradicated by the colonization. There were
Native Dominicans.
The Native Dominicans, yes. There was obviously European influence with the conquistadores and the settlers that came from Europe. And then finally, when the natives were killed off and eradicated, they have to find new free labor, a.k.a. slavery. And they decided to do what a lot of their neighbors did in Europe. And they went to Africa and they brought over slaves from Africa. So also the first slaves, some of the first slaves in the Western Hemisphere were in the Dominican Republic as well. So what you have today are influences of the indigenous, the Spanish or European, and then also the African ancestry. Now, fast forwarding back to the 1940s, Rafael Trujillo, who was the dictator at the time.
Mister, I need my poster in your house.
Right.
And you need to look at me every day you walk in the door.
Exactly. Mr. Narcissist.
Right.
decided that he wanted to erase all traces of the African influence on the culture. And so that led to a lot of things like the slaughtering of Haitians. I mean, it was very widespread because there was fighting along the Haitian-Dominican border. Anything that had to do with blackness was done away with. And among those things was the early origins of bachata.
Mm-hmm.
because like I said, a lot of the poor folks were the ones who came up with a lot of that music, and it was illegal to play that music. And it wasn't until he was assassinated in 1961, the same year that Mr. Calderon put out his Borracho de Amor, or Drunk in Love single. That's when bachata finally had the opportunity to emerge and show itself to the world. Now you fast
forward. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm intrigued. I can't wait to go to like a bar trivia and they ask me some of this shit. I'm gonna be like, oh, I know. I know. So fast forward to now.
Yeah, so since the 1960s, bachata's become one of the most popular genres in the world. You've got Romeo Santos, who's mm-hmm. the lead singer of Aventura, who is really, that group really took it to the next level. You've got Juan Luis Guerra is one of the more prominent bachateros in the Dominican Republic, and then Aventura, and then you've got a whole bunch of other bachateros that have come about along the way. And the beautiful thing about bachata is that not only is it does it have bolero influences, it's very romantic music, but the sound of the music is just as important as the dance. Which right. is common with a lot of Latin American music. And there is a specific dance associated with bachata music. Now, Liz and I, it sounds like she knows where I'm going with this.
Exactly where you're going with this.
Now, when Liz and I were in high school, we had, we
were on the International Fair, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah,
we were on the international dance team. And I was tasked with teaching the guys how to dance. And then I also taught Elizabeth because we were really cool in high school.
Yeah.
And you know what, Liz? I know you love telling this story.
Yeah, so this is, I love this story so much because this is what we did.
Mm-hmm.
So after school, to practice for International Fair, we chose to do, was it bachata or was it bachata? It was bachata. We danced to bachata music. Mm-hmm. I was asking you if it was more than one, but I can't remember.
I think we did do a little bit of merengue, but it was mostly bachata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so bachata is four steps, right?
It's one, two,
one,
three.
Two, yeah.
One, two, three. Stop. One, two, three.
Yeah. So when I first learned how to do this dance, my toes, they liked to like face each other. Like I was like, it was a little ducky. I was like a little duck, and I'm just like one, two, three. One, two, three, quack. One, two, three, quack. And Bernard was like, like,
I gotta get you right, Liz.
You are literally
get you right.
Doing your best, and I appreciate that, but I'm not having you look like that. And I think I was the only white girl in the international dance committee, whatever.
I think so. I think you were, actually.
So I had to prove myself. I was like, I'm gonna get this right. So, needless to say, now you see me dance and you're like, what part of DR is this girl from?
Straight up.
All thanks to Bernard. No joke.
Yeah, man. Good times. Oh my God. I remember that.
Yeah, those are some really, really good times.
Great times.
So I'm going to talk about Southern Rock. And in order to get to Southern Rock, we kind of got to go through classic rock. So there's a lot of different starting points for classic rock as a genre, but what we found so fascinating that, like bachata, classic rock was born in the 60s.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, like the nifty 60s. Like there was a lot happening in the 60s. So the British invasion helped develop like classic rock, that whole rock and roll genre, but Southern rock has Southern roots.
Mm.
Like they were like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
So Southern Rock is really homegrown.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, the Rolling Stones are coming, the Beatles are coming, the British is coming. And they were like
Paul Revere.
They were like, yeah, well, we're Southern and we're gonna put our own twist on it. So that subgenre, Southern Rock, I know, originated mostly from the first wave of rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
but they were influenced by people like Elvis, who's Southern, mm-hmm. right?
Tennessee, right?
Yep, yeah, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then Little Richard, who I thought was awesome.
Little Richard's like the godfather of music in the South, yo.
I know.
He has his hands in everything.
Seriously. He is from Macon, Georgia.
Really?
Yeah. So man, for those of you who don't know, Macon, Georgia is about an hour and a half to 2 hours south of Atlanta. So
yeah. Yeah, about an hour.
Right?
Like about an
hour-ish? Yeah, depending on traffic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Depending like on traffic, yeah.
4 hours if there's, like, Atlanta traffic. Depending on traffic. If you take 75 south and there's traffic. Anyway, y'all get where Macon is. So, let's stay in Macon for a second. The Allman Brothers, they are also from Macon, Georgia. And the Allman Brothers are kind of like the originators of Southern rock.
That's
like
so
they
awesome,
kind of
man.
Like, yeah, the Allman Brothers are like Southern rock's dad. Like that's their dad. But yeah, so they're from Macon, Georgia. One of their famous songs is that song, "I'm tied to the whipping post, tied to the whipping post." Anyway, that
the one
song,
I know is Ramblin' Man.
Oh, yeah, Ramblin' Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's the other one that was on Guitar Hero? Was it Jessica? Is that the Allman? I think that is the Allman Brothers.
I don't remember.
I'm going to Google check myself really quick just because I don't want to lie to our listeners.
Silver Dollar, too, if you know that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it is, Jessica.
Okay.
So that thing that was like the hardest song to play on Guitar Hero. And that's how a lot of my friends knew about the Allman Brothers. But
shout out to Guitar Hero.
Yeah. So, but the really interesting thing about the Whipping Post, that song, he wrote it about betrayal. It was about like a woman who had betrayed the guy who was singing the song, and he felt like he was tied to a whipping post. And he just, sometimes I felt like I'm dying. That's what he would say. Sometimes I feel like I'm dying. So he's been lied to. He's been cheated. It's got these like really like bluesy, like just sad, like storytelling. But fun fact, a little bit of rock trivia for you guys. Greg Allman wrote that song on an ironing board.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I know. So apparently he was at his sister's house and the baby was asleep and he couldn't find a pen and it was dark and he didn't want to wake the baby up and he found a box of matches in the kitchen. So he lit a match, strike, and let it burn out. And then he took the match and wrote it on the ironing board. And then he said that he just kept lighting matches.
Holy
and
shit.
And doing, like, waving them out and then writing it on the ironing board.
Look, man, I don't want to hear nobody talk about how they don't have the right equipment or all this other bullshit. Yo, that is so freaking cool.
Exactly.
Creativity stops for nobody when it's really flowing.
Right. That's, yeah. And so I thought that was really, really cool. And it's just a testament to, like, him as a Southern rock artist to be like, hey, I got an idea. I ain't got shit, but I got some matches and I got an ironing board. And I'm going to.
Did that shit.
Yeah, and I'm going to write this song down. So, another neat thing, if you guys are ever in Macon, they have a Allman Brothers museum and it's called The Big House.
Mm-hmm.
And The Big House is where the band first played, I think from like 70 to like 73. That's like where they met. That was like their stopping grounds. Like that was like their recording studio.
Hmm.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
You can rent it out. They have event spaces.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you can go to the museum or you can rent it out.
Well, I know what our next road trip is going
to
be, Liz.
I know. Let's go down to the big
let's
house.
Let's go to Macon. Let's go to the big house.
Let's go to Macon. So it's really cool that they have those roots there and they kept it local. And they're giving back.
That's awesome.
And yeah. So I thought that was really cool. And that's my big shout out and to the Allman Brothers and how they kind of like influenced not just the rest of Southern rock, but they're still influencing like where they came from
today.
And keeping it like super, super homegrown like really local.
Talk about impacting a culture.
I know, right. So that's what I was leading into. Can you tell me a little bit like how like bachata has impacted the culture and
yeah, and
can
first,
we like go into that a little bit?
I mean, first, you know, when we set out, I just want to mention this real quick. When we set out to discuss these two different genres, I mean, obviously the show's about parallels, right? We talk about parallels, but I mean, how poetic is it that both of these genres started around the same time and they have like these this bluesy kind of like, you know, somber, you know, origin, you know, it's beautiful. Anyway.
I mean, it is. I mean, you can express yourself and how you feel through art and it will make you feel better.
No, it's super dope. Super dope. So anyway, so about bachata, right? Like I was telling y'all, you know, there's a rich history. And it's become very, very, very popular, very mainstream today. I think I mentioned earlier that Juan Luis Guerra is one of the folks that is the most popular bachata artist. He did a little bit of Christian music. He dabbles in merengue. He's done a few salsa songs. But he is really known for bringing bachata to the forefront of Dominican culture. And really making it the sound. And it's funny, coming back from the Dominican Republic now reminds me of one of the first times that I went after moving from there in high school. And I remember getting off the plane, and this is how prevalent this shit is in the culture. I remember getting off the plane, walking down the hallway. And at the end, before you get to baggage claim, there's a group of four guys. The guys had, one of them had a little guitar, I'll probably play a little bit of bachata music for y'all, just so you get
That's what I was referring to earlier.
Exactly. So there's a guy with a guitar, there's a guy with a little drum, and there was a little band playing bachata music for the tourists as they get off the plane live, right there for
like,
you.
Like, welcome to Dominican Republic.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it doesn't get any realer than that, you know? And now, I mean, you know, you can go to your Zumba class, and you know, you can, if you in the Dominican Republic, while I was shopping, you know, I was shopping at this huge grocery store. It's like the equivalent of Walmart, but it's called Jumbo over there.
Jumbo's
playing bachata music over the loudspeaker. People are dancing through the produce section. Yeah. I mean, talk about la alegría, which directly translates to like the happiness.
Yeah.
You know, that the music brings about and how proud they are of it. I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And I mentioned Romeo Santos earlier. You know, Romeo Santos has become so popular, in fact, that at one point he was the president of the Latin American music division under Rockefeller Records, under Jay-Z's Rockefeller Records. You know what I mean? You know, he's had songs with Usher where Usher didn't sing in Spanish, but you know, y'all know Usher, y'all heard, everybody right. heard Confessions.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He brought that energy to his song with Romeo. Romeo did a song with Drake where Drake even sang in Spanish, and not for nothing, but that joke was kind of impressive.
And that's how Drake became everyone's Dominican uncle.
Yeah, that's one of the ways.
Oh, he speaks Spanish?
Epic Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it's just beautiful to see the layover between, like, you know, between American culture, specifically like urban New York culture, and you know, Southern culture, obviously with Usher, and then you know, seeing
yeah, there's another Georgia boy.
Exactly.
Usher.
Look at Georgia. Yeah, look at Georgia coming through.
Look at Georgia!
Bro, we are out here. So yeah, and it's really dope, and it's a lot. I mean, it's really equivalent to the influence that Southern Rock has had, right?
Yeah, definitely. So like bachata in Dominican Republic, how it's heard everywhere. You can't go to a bar around here without hearing like Lynyrd Skynyrd, Sweet Home Alabama,
of course,
Freebird. I mean, all those songs are so overplayed, but I think that it doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. If you hear Sweet Home Alabama playing, you know the words. And you're like,
it's playing in my head right now.
I know. You all of a sudden, like, are from Alabama.
And you,
I know. Exactly. And you're like, yeah, Sweet Home Alabama. I've never been to Alabama before in my life, but I love his song. Go Lynyrd Skynyrd. But I'm going to kind of like, breeze through Lynyrd Skynyrd because I just Freebird, Sweet Home Alabama, those songs, they are just so overplayed to me. And there's another band that I'd really, really like to share some history about and appreciation for, and that is ZZ Top.
Ooh, y'all introduced me to ZZ
yes,
Top, actually.
Yes, we sure did. Yeah. They are the greatest band I have ever seen live. Those three old men are like, they're amazing.
They got the long beards, right?
Yeah, man, those long beards, that really deep voice. They're like, you know, there's a great documentary out that's called The Little Old Band from Texas. And it's, if you got a chance, watch it. And it's about ZZ Top. But anyway, they play live. They're fantastic. So they are actually the longest running band that has stayed together playing now. Did I word that right? Did that make sense?
Yeah.
So they, I was kind of like going through it in
without,
my head.
Without any breakups.
Right. So,
because bands are obviously known for not
they're
staying
like the,
together.
The band that has the original members that have played the longest together. Now, there was a time that they did break up, but it's because one of the members, he was struggling with substance abuse, and he was like, hey, y'all, I need a break. Like, I got to get my shit together. Mm. And they actually talk about this in the documentary, and the guy, I guess he probably asked one of the members, like, so what'd you do? What did you do while, you know, your friend was getting help? And mm-hmm. he's like, well, I went fishing. And that's what he did.
So they didn't really break up. They just stopped playing.
They just took a break. And it's cool because they were like, it's kind of, it was good that break happened. One, I mean, Buddy got help and he's, you
man,
know,
that is so
doing
awesome,
his thing.
Man.
And then two, they were, I think they were getting like bigger than what they had imagined that they were going to be. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gave them some time to just like watch their like records just hit like and be like sky high.
Well, and they got a chance to unplug a little bit.
Another one of the members, he went to like, he worked at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport while his friend was getting help too. So, I mean, they were still busy and they were still like, I'm sure like communicating.
They just did regular shit when they got
Yeah, exactly. They were like, okay, well, I mean, this music thing has been fun, but you know, he's got to go get some help. So I'm going to go fishing.
Talk
well, I'm going to go get a job at the airport.
Man.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Well, that explains why they were together so long.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. something too, I just thought about it. So it was, I hate to do this, but going back to Lynyrd Skynyrd. So my very first concert that I ever went to, I was 8, and I went with my mom and my brother, and who my brother, I think, was, like, 13 at the time. I'm telling you the ages because my mom took her kids to what's called Music Midtown, and back then, Music Midtown it was different than, mm-hmm. the way it is now.
It's pretty big now.
It is still big, but I feel like there were a lot of, like, old like rock bands and like I don't know, I guess it's kind of the
different
same
time.
Yeah, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
But it was crowded, of course, like mm-hmm. as hell, and
I could see Miss Sharon out there, man.
Yeah. And like it was like my mom and
oh y'all
me,
know Miss Sharon and, too I forgot yeah
oh yeah you do. You guys met her last episode,
right?
So yeah, you can probably definitely understand.
You can imagine
bring her kids to go see Lynyrd Skynyrd at Music Midtown. So, of course, I got in free because I'm 8. But it was so crowded, and my mom had me, like, on a dog leash. Like, she put a leash on my belt buckle. Not my belt buckle, my belt loop of my pants.
Man.
And, you know, we're just walking around Music Midtown listening to all these awesome bands. But, yeah, but Lynyrd Skynyrd was playing, and I mean, that was just so awesome to experience. We were there with another family, another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a girl, I don't think she had ever been to any kind of like live event like that before. And she's a type of girl. She's kind of like Belle from Disney,
mm-hmm.
from Beauty and the Beast, where she always has her nose in a book.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
She had her nose in her diary, and she's like writing in her diary. And she was scared, though. She was like, dear diary, there's a man peeing behind a tree. Dear diary.
They're like three men passed out on the grass.
Dear diary. Lynyrd Skynyrd. People are screaming Free Bird. And, but it was really funny. But yeah, so not only do like, you know, of course, like I love the music, but I love also what, you know, like the different things you get to explore by experiencing that music.
Yeah.
And being around those crowds and being it's, I mean, it's just awesome.
And that kind of music, you know, a lot like bachata, that kind of music just kind of seeps into your bones, you know? I mean, like, I remember when you first introduced me to Southern rock and, you know, I was, what, 13, 14, and yeah. I never really heard anything besides, like, hip-hop and bachata, salsa, merengue, and then, I was just like, you know, it's just the energy that comes with, I mean, I don't know. It's everything.
Yeah. To kind of go back to, I guess, classic rock, I think one of Bernard's favorite classic rock bands is probably, what do you think, Aerosmith?
Oh, yeah, I love Aerosmith.
Do you remember Aerosmith?
I mean,
when you heard this CD, you were like, what is this? Oh, my gosh. I love this song.
I think up until that point, the only Aerosmith song that I had heard was, like, from Armageddon or some shit. Like, you know, the most absolute commercial mainstream Aerosmith ever.
Right.
But then, like, when I started to hear some of, like, the not-so-mainstream stuff, I just fell in love.
Yeah, you
I fell
were
in
hooked.
Love. Yeah. I was walking around your house in a Metallica hoodie, like all kinds.
I know. So true. It's okay. He was walking around like that, and here I was, like, schooling everyone on the dance floor, dancing
straight
bachata,
up, man.
And they were
spinning people.
Exactly.
People are coming. Where are you from?
I know. Where are you from? And then I'm like, I'm from Stockbridge, Georgia. But yeah, so yeah. What's the takeaway here?
Yeah. So let's bring it on home here. So I mean, like I was saying earlier, when we set out to do this episode, we had no idea. I mean, we really picked some of the genres that meant the most to us, and you know, lo and behold, it was almost poetic how many common themes there are. I mean, you know, the bachatero, who is the bachata singer, the performer, you know, is a lot like a blues man. You know, he sings about pain,
yeah.
He sings about struggle, you know, and it's another way to get through some of the tough times. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the origins of bachata are in poor communities in the country, you know, in the struggle, you know, a lot of blues music comes from that as well. And bolero.
Yeah, and imagine like the South in the 60s. And
you're right. You know what I'm saying?
So.
So, you know, and then you have the bolero, which is like the bolero genre in Latin American music is like the grandfather of like a lot of modern Latin American music, which influenced bachata the same way the blues has influenced rock, which has influenced all kinds of other things. And, you know,
yeah,
so
I think,
there's just so much in common.
Yeah. And even like I'm just thinking about like Southern rock too, and how it's. I feel like now, like, the current country music that's on the radio is probably, it is poppy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is. It's got, like, some
extremely
pop feels.
Extremely poppy.
But I feel like a lot of the country music that I like and I appreciate and some of the earlier, it was heavily influenced by Southern rock because the people who were writing those songs, that's probably what they listened to.
Yeah,
was like
yeah exactly.
Some,
that's probably what they grew up on.
Good old Southern rock, yeah.
Straight
and,
up.
I mean, it's a lot of influence there, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And the crazy part is that, you know, had we not have met each other, we might not have, I mean, I think, I like to think that we're so appreciative of these different genres that
yeah.
we probably would have found them along the way. But I don't know that we would have gained the same level of
I'd
appreciation.
I'd not have appreciated it so much.
Oh my God, not even close.
No. Because, I mean, I just, like, I remember going to, like, your house and your mom playing music. And, like, when she played the music, she's cooking the food. So, you're smelling, like,
we might have been cleaning.
Sancocho. And, like, yeah, and fabuloso. And, like, I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I love this. It's amazing. And then, like, maybe you could say the same thing. Like,
well, when I would come to your house, you know, we would always hang out in the basement, right?
Yeah.
And your brother was in the basement.
Yeah.
And your brother's an incredible fucking guitar player.
Right.
I mean, he taught in all kinds of stuff. You're like, hey, you guys want to hear a song? What do you want to hear? You know, and he just played the whole shit, like, off the top of his head.
I know. Don't say Freebird, because then he's like, ugh.
Oh, yeah. Nah.
But Whipping Post, that's a good one to play.
Yo, straight up, you know? So I would come over and, you know, and I'd hear that music, and we, you know, we'd sit in that basement, and we'd turn on the radio or put them CDs in there, and we'd just and listen. Nah, there's no way 8th grade Bernard would have known about that shit.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, 8th grade Elizabeth was not going to be listening to bachata. Probably not. But Another little story, this kind of goes, this is just a tidbit that I want to throw in because I told Bernard I have to tell you guys about this. It doesn't have anything to do with Southern Rock or Bachata, but it does have everything to do with Bernard introducing me to different music. Mm. So you know where I'm going with this,
right? Oh, yeah.
Jesus, Snowman. Gangsta Grizzlies. So those of you that don't know, Young Jeezy is a underground hip hop. Well, was.
He's actually from Macon.
I know.
Did you know that?
He's from Macon?
He's from the Mac. He's from Macon. Yup. Originally from Macon.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And then he moved to Atlanta, but he's from Macon.
Oh my gosh.
Look at Macon coming through.
We gotta go to Macon.
Straight up, man.
So yeah. So anyway, Young Jeezy, who's actually originally from Macon.
Mm-hmm.
Underground hip hop artist when we were coming up.
Yeah.
So
it's
Bernard,
like 2006, yeah. 2005.
Bernard's
something like
that. Let me share this with you. And I took the CD home. I even drew a snowman on the CD.
Yep. Exchanging music like teenagers do. And that's what I was listening to.
Oh my gosh. I popped that thing in and I did my best to find something that I liked.
My mind was blown.
It was hard.
Look, and for y'all and most people know who Young Jeezy is. I mean, you know, my president is black, my Lambo's blue. I mean, people know who Jeezy is, but at the time Jeezy wasn't rapping about anything. But being in a gang and selling drugs.
Right.
Something that neither one of us could even remotely relate to. Not even a little
Especially
bit.
Especially me, who was playing that CD out of a SpongeBob CD player in my bedroom that was like pink and yellow.
Painted pink and yellow.
But that one song, that, come on now. Oh, that Grey Goose.
I'm on that Grey Goose.
Yes.
Do I know you?
No. I was just telling Bernard, I was like, can you imagine, like, if had I not known any other, like, Young Jeezy songs, and I'm like, oh, Jeezy, you mean, like, the Gangsta Grizzlies, the canon.
Yo.
People would be like, wait, you know that Jeezy?
Yo, my people that know mixtapes from the early and mid-2000s, you know Liz isn't bullshitting,
because
she got all the ad-libs down. I'm so proud.
I know. That's how you know I also listened to it. I mean, I was like doing my best to be a best friend. But yeah, so maybe one day we can share this with our kids if we ever have any. But until then, we can just sit around here and share it with all these other people listening to us.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing is that, you know, music is so transcendent,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it does flow from generation to generation, but it also crosses borders. I mean, it's its own language. Hell, it brought me and you together. And, you know, one day maybe it'll bring our kids together too, or our kids will be able to make more friends and, you know, share both classic rock and bachata, because both, you know, both our kids.
I know, those are going to be like super classic.
Right, they're going to be so cultured.
When we ever get it to around having children, those genres are going to be like, oh my gosh. They're going to be like, what's that? Like, y'all get it together. Come on now. It's what you hear every single day, because this is what we listen to.
Yeah.
So anyways, what are we going to talk about on the next episode?
Well, I think we're gonna talk about food.
Mm-hmm.
We'll share some traditional dishes that we grew up with.
That makes sense, because Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yep,
so we can do that.
Yep. Exactly. And yeah, we'll even tell y'all. Thanksgiving is fairly universal in the U.S., but like in the South, it has its own twist to it. And then being from a Dominican family, I mean, we have our own Dominican version of Thanksgiving. So
yeah,
we'll get
and
to
I, yeah.
share that with y'all a little bit.
I can tell them about the first Thanksgiving that I had with the Dominican family that I lived with in New York.
Ah.
Okay. All right. So yeah, guys, I guess we're talking about food on our next episode. There you go.
All right. Thank y'all so much for listening again, and we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah. Tell them about our Instagram.
Oh, yes. Right. So you can follow us on Instagram at @heyyall_queloque. That's @heyyall _queloque.
Perfect. Okay, I think we got all the check marks.
Yep, and on our Instagram, we have our link to our website where you can listen on any other platforms. And we hope you'll tell your friends.
Tell all your friends.
All right, y'all. right, this has been Hey Y'all Get Up There with Bernard.
And Elizabeth.
And we really appreciate y'all stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for coming through. We can't wait to see y'all next time.